FPL Pod is back and Jules is ready to boast. As well as that, we discuss second city options, how to manage Man U's trip to Arsenal, and can Mystic Sam and Jules hit the differential jackpot again? Hello, welcome back to the FPL Pod. I'm going to start with a tweet from Julian Laron. Somehow, I picked Akanji instead of Malo Gusto, despite bigging him up on the official FPL show. Let's forget game week three quickly and move on. I still did better than Kelly Summers, though. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. You know
you
how much I love you.
Got two more points than me.
I know. But to save my butt, really, after game week three, I had to expose you. Sorry. That was the only thing that was slightly positive. I got two green arrows in all my mini leagues and stuff. One was in our mini league because I, you know, went above you. And the other one was the ones where my kids are and some of our best friends are. So that's all. But that was enough, to be fair.
Hi, Sam. I was looking forward to seeing you a lot more this morning. At least Jules is sticking to his policy of putting his team up, even if he is using my misfortune to kind of justify his own team.
Yeah. I mean, I had a good week, so I just leave you two to argue amongst yourselves, I think, for a bit. Yeah, it is quite interesting watching the rivalry between you two develop, I must admit.
Come on then, tell us about your game week three then, because Jules can pretend his was good because it was better than mine, but it wasn't actually good, whereas yours was.
Yeah, I had a good week. So 64, back up now to 46K, which is nice. Again, I still don't think you should be worrying too much about overall rank at this point, but it is nice to have a nice overall rank at this stage. I was a bit frustrated though, Kel, because I mean, I spent a lot of last week talking to you about players who I then didn't get in, who then did incredibly well. And it was like, should follow my own suggestions for a little bit more like Raheem Sterling, but hey ho, there you go.
What were those decisions that you kind of... So other than Sterling, you've had that a few times this season, haven't you? Because we're going to do differentials later in the show. You've had a pretty good track record with them. You often recommend them to listeners, but you haven't been bringing them in. You need to start taking your own advice.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Spurs defence, I think I also suggested doing that last week and that did well. Extra Chelsea defender. And then in the end, the transfers that I did make weren't... Well, they didn't go that well. So I bought in Wissa, who just blanked last week, which was a bit of a frustrating one. I didn't see that one coming. And then I did Foden, who, thank goodness, he made a cameo appearance at the end of the game and picked up that assist. Otherwise, those two transfers would have been properly in the mud. But yeah, a good game week overall, 64. Everyone kind of performing well. Mr. Diaby coming in with a nice haul. James Maddison having been sold by a lot of other managers, absolutely smashing it last week. So it's those kind of differentials that do well that actually really boost your rank at the minute.
Jules, was it this time last week that you went on about how Marcus Rashford was definitely going to be sold from your team?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then you kind of changed my mind, to be fair. So I kept him for one more week. And to be fair, he returned. I think he will go this week. But a bit like Sam, you know, Malo Gusto, like I said in the tweet, bigging him up. And then right at the end, I decided to put Akanji in instead of him because the problem I had was the Shaw injury made that I had to get rid of Shaw. So I had a lot of money. And had Shaw not been injured, I would have probably replaced Bayer for Gusto, similar price. And then I would have played Gusto and never put Akanji in. So the fact that I had more money than the 4 million for Gusto meant I could go for Akanji. I thought it was a better choice. Being on holidays, I have to be honest, I didn't really follow everything. Same with João Pedro. I'd missed that De Zerbi said that Ferguson would start and not João Pedro, to be fair. So that was not good. In the end, 46 points because my defense didn't return at all. Ramsdale, Estupinan, Saliba, and Akanji, obviously. So it was, yeah, that was the one bit that let me down the most. And then, as Sam said, Diaby was great. Got the points that he deserved maybe the week before even. Saka, Rashford, all of that, Salah even, and then Haaland. So it could have been a little bit better, of course, but that defense, when you have a defense that doesn't perform, you can't go anywhere.
Especially when so many people had a Chelsea defender of sorts last week, that will hurt. And so I actually, after Friday night, was like, yes, I'm going to beat Jules here. But then I feel like it was almost karma because you had Moussa Diaby, and obviously I was going on last week about, yes, he's not getting the returns he deserves. And then he went and got 12 points, which helped you. So yeah, that's FPL, but I'm going to make some big transfers this week and beat you this week. Okay, congratulations to the people that are doing well in our league. Some of the week's big scorers then are Frederick, aka Manchester is ready. He got a huge 91 points, but leading the way in our mini league is Ebra, who has 239 points after three game weeks. I'd love to know where that is in the world. That's remarkable. Amazing. A reminder of the league code, isn't it? Yeah. The league code is IB3WLK if you do want to join. Now, let's start our preview of game week three then by reviewing the premiums. We were in a bit of a quandary with these all summer because of the Kane saga. So a lot of people just went for Haaland. We all went for Salah as well. But Jules, how do you rate him so far this season? Because he's getting points, but maybe not the level of points that we became accustomed to last season.
You could say maybe it's a slow start or slower start than last season for Haaland. The fact is, the chances are there. He could easily have had three goals against Sheffield United, of course, and the penalty that he missed. Even the weekend before, that was the same. And let's not forget, last season was an exceptional season. This season is going to be fantastic again. You know it already. I don't know how many goals he's going to score, but you could almost probably put your mortgage on at least 30 for the season. So for Haaland, I don't think you move at all. I think you keep captaining him for most of the weeks because City are that good and they're already better than they were at this stage last season because they had a really slow start as a team last season compared to what they've had now. They didn't play that great against Sheffield United and they still created loads of chances without even Pep Guardiola on the bench. I think with Haaland, it's just a matter of time before we see him scoring 2-3 very regularly. The one will always be there pretty much. And I still think it's an accident when he doesn't return points for us. So in terms of Haaland, I think there's no reason right now to think about selling him.
Yeah, he has still got 19 points so far. And with fixtures to come next against Fulham, West Ham, Forest and Wolves all in the next four, it would be foolish to sell him. No one's going to sell him. And Sam, the underlying stats for him still look really good, don't they?
Yeah, he's top for XG amongst forwards, 3.05. He's top for goal attempts amongst forward with 19. He's three goals are top amongst forwards at level with Amuni, bizarrely, so you can go from one end of the price spectrum to the other. But yeah, his underlying stats still look really good. Manchester City are still going to be that creative spark that they were last year. So I think with Haaland, you just have to have him. It's no great surprise, is it, that 91% of managers do.
I think, Sam, as well, the biggest question was not should we have Haaland, it was should we have Haaland plus another City asset. That was the main thing we were all looking for in these early weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's still maybe a little bit undecided in terms of how you second guess Pep and whether you go with a second attacking option or a defensive one or both. I brought in Foden last week only for him to be ill. Jules brought in Akanji. It was just that's what you get, isn't it, with Man City sometimes. You do lose them. But I do think that the only real way to make Man City work for you this season is to double up Haaland with somebody else, and you kind of buy a ticket to the Pep roulette and you roll with it. I think moving forward, I'll probably look to have another City player in my team as well on top of Foden and Haaland.
Yeah, Jules, what are you thinking with City? I know this is meant to be a premium chat, but it feels like the answer to Haaland is Haaland or Haaland plus one. And the plus one is what's intriguing me a bit at the moment because I hovered over Foden last week and I'm really hovering over Alvarez at the moment.
Yeah, Alvarez is a good pick, and Sam mentioned him before. I mean, I thought after the Newcastle game that Foden's season has kick-started, really, and that he would be in the team all the time. And I understand why Sam and a lot of people put Foden in before the Sheffield United game, and then he's on the bench. So it's still difficult with Pep, even defensively, between Diaz and when Stone's going to fully be back, plus Akanji, plus Gvardiol now, and Ake and Walker. Rodri might be an interesting one because he also has now this scoring ability that he had a bit last season, and that goal against Sheffield United will give him that. And more teams are going to play so deep against City that he will have those chances to shoot from the edge of the box or a bit outside. I still think, and he will be my differential towards the end of the show, that Jack Grealish is a great shot right now because that performance against Sheffield United is really the Grealish that we saw last season. The cross for Haaland, the assist, but everything that he did in those 1v1 situation. And again, with the fixture list that you mentioned, Kelly, there will be a lot of games for City like the one against Sheffield United. So a lot of games where Grealish will have those kind of positions on that left-hand side to create, to go 1v1, to maybe get a penalty, get a cross, something happens, square the ball. So I think Grealish could be a very interesting shout. And then we have someone like Doku who's going to come in and has really like incredible skills, and he's going to be a very exciting player for them. I don't know how often he's going to be starting, but Doku could also be a very interesting pick later in the season.
Whose minutes do you think he'll affect the most? Where do you see him playing in that side, Jules?
He will play on the as a right winger. I think that's his best position. This is where he loves playing. This is where he's coming to replace Mahrez, really. So I think the right-hand side for Doku is perfect. So it'd be him or Bernardo. Cole Palmer is leaving now, so that's one competition left, if you want. So I for me, it would be something like that. So if you have Grealish on the left, Haaland, and then someone on the right, and then Rodri plus two, Kovacic, De Bruyne when he's back, Bernardo maybe in that position, or Bernardo can play on the right-hand side as well. It gives you so many options now. But Doku's best position is undoubtedly as a right winger on that right-hand side.
Okay, so I've made this from a premium chat into a premium plus another City asset chat. But let's bring it back to premiums now then and talk about the other two premiums being from Liverpool. Now, we all had Trent Alexander-Arnold for most of the summer, but all three of us went against him in the end and all just had Mo Salah. Let's firstly talk about Trent, Sam. Do the early weeks back up our decision to not start him in our team? He's only got 4 points.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I had a look at Trent last night when I was prepping for this. So 57 defenders in the game currently have more points than Trent.
57?
Yeah, 57 defenders.
Did you say count them?
Yeah, I counted them.
I love that commitment.
Yeah, because I was like, where is he? And it took me so long to find him that I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm going to count them.
Sam, you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to count and go, actually, it's 58.
Yeah, probably. There's about 57. I think he's 58th. Well, he's tied because there's a lot of them on 4 points. Robertson's got more points than he has. So if you do want to go for a Liverpool defender, I'm not quite sure why you would at the moment, but if you do, you can go for Robbo instead. He's cheaper. He's 15th for expected assists amongst defenders at the moment. Now, for context, last season, he was only bettered for expected assists by Trippier. And for the previous four seasons before that, he was top. So the fact that he's dropped down to 15th so far this season suggests that he's not getting into quite the same positions that we're used to seeing in previous seasons. And when he is getting there, the balls that he's putting through aren't leading to expected assist points for him. So at the moment, without any defensive security from Liverpool and without as much attacking threat as we used to see from Trent, it's just not worth spending that level of budget on him, particularly when so many of the 4.0s, 4.5 million defenders are doing so well.
I actually thought that last weekend when Gusto returned for Chelsea, I was like, he's half the price of him. Yeah. I know that's just one game week, but it does feel like if you went with Trent at the beginning of the season, Sam, would you be moving him on quite urgently?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think for a lot of people, it won't necessarily be urgent because of budget reasons. So in previous seasons, when we had multiple premiums that we wanted to go to, managers would probably have taken Trent out already and lost patience with him. Whereas he's probably had a couple of extra stays of execution because we haven't needed the budget to go elsewhere. But the reality is that having a lot of money in your FPL bank doesn't necessarily create a problem for you. If anything, it's a nice problem to have, right? Having extra funds there. So I think for me, looking at Trent now, particularly with the Chelsea defence and the Spurs defence looking really investable for the next few weeks and the players there getting attacking returns as well, moving him on would be a really nice idea. If you do want to wait, you could always go for Trippier if you don't have him, because the fixtures, we're not far off that swing for the Newcastle fixtures, just around game week 5.
Okay, let's talk about Mo Salah then. You two gave me the fear about him. So as everyone knows, I transferred him in and I sacrificed my whole team basically for him at 6:20 before the game week 1 deadline. Now he is returning, but I said it last week on this podcast, I do want more from him than 5 points a week for 12.5 million. I have never cheered an assist like I did last Sunday. Sam did sell him in the end, Jules. Are you still sticking?
Yeah, I'm sticking because I think the fixtures come in are not bad, to be fair. You've got Aston Villa at home. Okay, Aston Villa are playing well and they're good, but they also are a team that Liverpool, you know, can beat, especially at home. Then you've got Wolves, then you've got West Ham, then you've got, okay, Spurs and Brighton back to back, which is not easy. And after that is the derby against Everton and Forest. So I think there's good games there for him. Let's not forget that in their first three league games, they played Chelsea away and then that game against Newcastle away as well. Two really, really tough games in a team that, as we've said many times, is still in transition, being rebuilt, especially that midfield. And they might even have another midfield between now and the end of the transfer window. So until I think I'm seeing the full Liverpool team with a starting 11 that is the same and you can start getting used to play with each other, and especially for Salah and especially for a club team, I think then he would get even better. So I think I'm going to keep him even more. for now, because I expect a lot of people would sell. And also because I still think that, as we saw in that Newcastle game, it just needs one moment, really. That pass for Darwin is amazing. The finish is great, of course. And for a game where he had to play with 10 men against 11 for most of it, the fact that Klopp didn't take him off, by the way, is important, I think, very important, when he changed two of the three forwards, not like in the first game of the season. And then the fact that he's still capable of those moments of brilliance, like that pass for Darwin, I think still showed that, for me, if you can have him, you should have him.
Sam, you sold him. Are you happy with your decision?
Yeah, because the improvements that it makes the rest of my squad is so much better. So my issue with having Salah isn't actually anything to do with Salah, because his underlying stats are still reasonable. Like, he's still getting in the right position, still creating chances, still having attempts on goal. I mean, he's had 10, only three midfielders have done better than that. So he's in the right places, doing the right things. Have concerns about Liverpool without Van Dijk defensively and what that might mean for them in terms of the game against Aston Villa. I think Aston Villa will enjoy being able to attack that Liverpool defence that's already going to be weakened by not having Van Dijk. But with Salah not being in my team, it means that the budget to improve the rest of the squad is so much bigger, and it allows me to have those additional players that also have really nice fixtures that I couldn't quite get to. So, you know, players like Foden, like Jackson, like Raheem Sterling, like the additional assets that you might want from Liverpool, even the likes of the Jota, who's still performing really well. You can kind of improve the quality across the rest of your squad. So rather than having Salah, who is still ticking over points nicely, and then a bench that's really bare bones, and if you need them to come on, just doesn't quite get more than maybe one or two points, it allows you to have just improvements across the rest of the squad. And that for me was quite important, given that we've seen a lot of changes in squads in the opening few weeks of the season.
Are you concerned though, Sam, about not having any Liverpool cover? Of course, I put in our WhatsApp group when Nunes scored, because I knew you'd be excited about that.
Can't have Nunes again. No, not yet. I think one good appearance off the bench isn't going to make me rip up my team to get Nunes in. Although I do have a spot available for him, because the João Pedro position is definitely up for debate this week. I think Luis Diaz on another day, when Van Dijk doesn't get sent off, plays more of that game, probably gets something out of it, because was playing well up until that point. You've got Jota as well there. I struggle a little bit with how much game time Nunes is going to get, and whether he's just seen now as maybe being more of an impact sub. Like, when he came on at the weekend, Lee said he's either going to ruin the game and we're going to lose by a lot, or he's going to win it. And it, like, there's no middle ground. And it does feel like that a lot when you watch Darwin Nunes. And so at the moment, I'm not quite ready to go back there with him again. But another performance like that, and I know that I'll be starting to go, oh, shall I get Darwin back again? After all of last season, I can't go there again.
But it's something we've said all season, isn't it? We've kind of been clamoring for other forwards to do something, to want to come in our teams. Going from premiums, let's go to the other end of the spectrum now. Sam, you mentioned it. João Pedro is a headache that a lot of managers do actually have, and something I think we need to address. We've all got him. Jules, I've got two free transfers this week. I kind of kept my two free transfers because I wanted to see if he started last weekend. Of course, he didn't. And like we said, De Zerbi did actually say Ferguson was going to start in advance. Maybe I should have seen that one coming, but I still thought he might have got more minutes than he did.
Yeah.
I'm now thinking, despite being the most loyal member of the Pedro fan club, I do need to do something. And I'm going to do something similar to what Sam said in terms of downgrading either Rashford or Salah to get funds to upgrade Pedro, yeah, potentially to Alvarez. What are you going to be doing with Pedro?
It's a good question. I mean, because I want to get a Sterling, Madison or Grealish, two of the three, with my two free transfers, I might just play with Haaland up front. And
that's also an option, isn't it?
Yeah, five
men.
That is
also a really good option.
Because as we've been saying all through the summer, your midfielders are so good that you can easily go for that. But I agree with you, and I think a lot of managers are in that position with João Pedro. He started well. He's clearly very talented. I think maybe doesn't work hard enough off the ball for De Zerbi to start him. And that's maybe an issue there that we need to look into. But then you've got Gabriel Jesus coming back. You've got Alvarez, who's been doing well when he played. But will he start again, or will he be on the bench this time? Again, with Pep Roulette, we're not so sure. You've got maybe players like, I don't know, Mikel Antonio and West Ham, who did so well at Brighton, who are now playing Luton, who could easily go and bully them and score two, three again. So you've got nice options. certainly on the short term, on the longer term, it might be a little bit different. So you might be need to be ready to swap a bit your forwards, your plus one with Haaland quite regularly. But I think there are other options than João Pedro. It's just it depends what you need first for your team. And personally, I need to upgrade and change my midfielders more than another forward.
Sam, what about you? You said it's on your radar to sort this out. What are you thinking you're going to do?
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be something I deal with this week, to be honest, because I've got such a nice midfield five, I don't want to bench any of them, plus Wissa and Haaland up top. So I have to bench my eighth attacking player anyway. So João Pedro is the obvious one to go there. So I think I'd rather strengthen my defence this week. And then next week, over the international break, probably have a little look at João Pedro's position. Now, he could go up to somebody like Jackson. That's definitely potential there because I've got all the money in the bank from having sold Salah last week. But then there are also a number of cheaper options that are probably going to get more game time than him. So like Cameron Archer making the move to Sheffield United suddenly puts him back on the radar again, because then you've got another cheap option you could replace João Pedro with. So yeah, I think there are plenty of options in the cheaper bracket too.
Some of us have got both Archer and Pedro. Yeah, some of us went really heavy for Salah.
I was just going to say, Sam mentioned Archer, but the fact that now he's going to be a start, you would think that for Sheffield United to spend that money on him, he's going to start. Whereas he was only going to get a few minutes there and there for Villa. It's different now. We used to have him in the squad just because he was cheap, good but cheap. Now he's going to be good and still cheap and a starter in the Premier League. So that's a little bit different. I'm not saying he's going to score 35 goals this season for Sheffield, but it slightly changed the perception of Archer in the sense that you can have him and he's your first sub because he's going to start. And if someone in your starting 11 doesn't play, then you know that Archer might bring you points, or even you start him in your team because if Sheffield have a good home game, let's say, potentially he can return some good points.
Sam, the only thing someone did remind me of the other day is, do you remember how excited we got when Rhian Brewster went to Sheffield United and what happened there?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? We all brought him in and then he didn't get any. It was just a bit of a disaster. And I think, you know, there are other options too if you don't want to go for Archer. But genuinely, I think most managers now are going to have a midfield five. I think that is the priority for all FPL managers, is to really go heavy on that midfield and then look at the front line. Now, obviously, Kels, you've probably got to do something about one of your two forwards that are playing up there alongside Haaland. Although this week you could easily play four defenders because there's some quality defenders with good game weeks this week and good fixtures. So longer term, you're going to get a bit more indication of what happens with Archer, and he's probably a hold. I think potentially João Pedro's a sell, but not as a priority for me just yet.
Yeah, it's a priority for me this weekend. I might do one of those mini wildcards that we've spoken about on here before, Sam, where we do double transfer and then take a minus four, because it just feels so exciting. Though I don't think any, when I've done that in the past, I don't think it's ever gone right, ever. So yeah, watch this space. Tune in next week to find out how disastrous that was for me. Okay, let's look at one of the fixtures this weekend that's going to be causing managers huge headaches. Arsenal versus Manchester United. It's so tricky when two teams that we're so heavily invested in go head to head, because we never quite know what to do with assets from either sides. And it's actually a really hard game to call as well, isn't it, Jules, which makes it even tougher, because Manchester United got the win last weekend. Arsenal left frustrated by Fulham. Neither of these two teams have really hit their groove yet.
No, you're right. It's going to be quite fascinating to see. Last season was already an amazing game, that 3-2 win for Arsenal, the Nketiah late, super late goal to win it. And you could expect, I think, something quite similar. Again, we saw Marcus Rashford going back to that left-hand side. We talked a lot on the show about him as a number nine, didn't really work. But on the left, he was better, of course, and could have even had more points than the ones that he got for us last week. I don't know if Anthony Martial will play again against Arsenal, but it's likely. Bruno had a really good game week too. Maybe the fact that Rashford went back to that left-hand side is just helping everybody around. For Arsenal, Arteta is trying something a little bit different this season tactically with Thomas Partey's positioning. And when he went back to what they did last season in that second half against Fulham, with Zinchenko left back and White at right back, Fabio Vieira coming in midfield, then things were much better. There was more verticality. They were finding good space. The rhythm was higher. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arteta was going back to that on Sunday from the start against United. And in that case, I think it's better for Saka too. I mean, it's better from an Arsenal point of view, I think, because they are more used to play like that. But if Arteta does that, then I think the Arsenal assets that you have, whether it's Odegaard, Martinelli, Saka, even defensively, are still good to have. For me, the only debate really is what you do with more the United players, Rashford, Bruno. And to be fair, there's a point to have to say, like, keep them, keep everybody, keep Saka, keep Saliba, Ramsdale, whoever you have for both teams, because potentially you could be a high scoring game and everybody returns point and everybody is quite good in the game.
It feels like one of those where whichever players you do bench will probably return. So it feels bold either way, doesn't it? What are you going to do with Rashford? Are you actually going to sell him this week?
Yeah, this time. This time it has to go. I mean, United, I still don't think are playing at their best at all. And Rashford himself, even going back to the left-hand side, was good against Forest in a game that United were chasing and they had to put them under pressure and all of that. So yeah, I think he's going to go. But also need that money to reinvest in other players. And I know I said it last season on the show, but there's something, I need to start a petition about those second assists, because the Casemiro goal for United last weekend against Forest, the great pass is the one from Rashford to Bruno. Not the assist actually from Bruno to Casemiro, but the ball from Rashford to Bruno is the best one there. And he got nothing for it. And I think the Premier League, this is unfair. So for the good of the game, I think at least get a point or two for the great assist that is sometimes before the assist.
I don't know how long you're going to have to be on this podcast before you reveal you have absolutely zero power. You have no power within this podcast. You definitely have no power higher up. So that's just get over true. It. It's not going to happen. But it was a great argument.
Yeah,
Sam, what about you? What about you? What are you going to do with your United and Arsenal assets for the weekend?
I mean, I haven't got that many, to be fair. I've got Saka and Bruno Fernandes. I'm kind of happy to play them both because I do think that these two teams will attack each other and therefore there could be goals in there for both of them, plus both of them with, you know, penalty responsibility, although Saka, you know, may share some of that, I suppose. Saliba's the question mark, I think, for me. I'll probably end up benching him simply because I'm going to end up with players on the bench, cheaper players on the bench that have really nice fixtures. So without revealing my transfers, I'll probably have two defenders with decent potential for attacking returns and good fixtures for clean sheets sat there on the bench. So I'd rather play one of them and not play Saliba. Incoming Saliba goal, definitely.
I'm excited. You did a spoiler, or like a teaser, sorry, not a spoiler. You did a teaser for your transfers there.
There you go.
I like that. Stay listening, guys. If you want to hear Sam's transfers, don't switch off.
They're not that exciting.
We did talk a lot. Jules has just said there, he obviously said he was going to sell Rashford last week. He's saying he's going to this week. Who knows if he actually
don't
will,
trust
Sam.
Him.
No, I will.
I guess for you, because you've downgraded Salah now, you can afford to kind of keep Bruno Fernandes for a little bit longer. And like I said before, I've got the headache of whether I downgrade Rashford or Salah this week. And I think it will likely be Salah just so I get even more money out of him. But I'm wondering what the managers who have doubled up on that United attack should be doing, because a lot of people have done that.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of managers out there that have got both Bruno and Rashford and Saka and then another Arsenal midfielder as well. And they've got the double-double across the midfield, which is something I very nearly did heading into game week one. I think if you've got both Bruno and Rashford, then I would sell one of them and I'd probably sell Rashford just because Bruno's underlying numbers are really good and his route to points is slightly better. Once there's a number nine established at Manchester United, a proper one, you know, once Hoyland is fit and available, maybe that position changes. But right now, I think Bruno is the better of the two assets. Plus, Rashford is that little bit more expensive. So if you are like Jules and you've got Salah in your team as well, and you don't want to sell him, there's a little bit more budget to play with if you sell Rashford. So if you've got both, I'd sell one and I'd probably plump for Rashford right now.
Just quickly on Arsenal as well, Jules, you mentioned Jesus coming back, of course, which is great for us potentially to have another forward option. How does that affect the rest of the Arsenal attack? And also last week, did you notice that I spoke on this podcast about Eddie Nketiah and then straight after Arteta came out and was like, yay, Jesus is back. And I was like, thanks, Mikel. Obviously great for Arsenal, but not great if you wanted a cheap forward option. How does that affect the rest of the Arsenal attack? And in particular, maybe Gabriel Martinelli as well?
Yeah, I think the position really, I mean, Nketiah did well and then we saw him being benched even if he came on and scored against Fulham. I was surprised to see him benched and I did wonder if you'd actually put him in your team, Kelly, like you said last week.
No,
but
I didn't.
The goal saved his performance and really should have been the winner for from an Arsenal point of view. I think Gabriel Jesus can easily come back and just slot back in that team as the number nine up front. Maybe not this weekend. I think this week is a bit too early for a game of that caliber. The fact that he's just come back, and I don't know how much fit he is really. I don't expect him to start on Sunday, but after that, I think he's definitely someone who will come back, will be hungry, and again, will come back on the radar very quickly for us.
Yeah, it could lead to us reshuffling definitely. Our kind of Arsenal assets, definitely. Okay, so we think we should probably just play both assets in that team, particularly attacking wise, because we think there could be goals. Q, a 0-0 draw. Just a quick word, if there is a 0-0 draw actually, Sam, could be beneficial for us Onana owners who have not had the best time recently, particularly if, like me, you've been playing Onana and just watching Areola get all these points left on your bench.
Oh yeah, that's another one I own in this game. I've forgotten all about him. Yeah, I do have Onana as well. Yeah, he's a frustration, isn't he, right now? Because I think we all got him at the beginning of the season because we were thinking he's going to be very involved in the play, and therefore he'll rank highly in bonus point system. So when the clean sheets come, he's more likely to pick up bonus points, plus their save point potential. What we're seeing is that they haven't really been keeping clean sheets. Now, I would expect there to be some save points against Arsenal because they will attack. So potentially he picks up some extra points there. I think if you've got Areola as your second goalkeeper, you play him instead. But I do think that a change in keeper position is something that I'm definitely looking at, particularly as there are some other goalkeepers that I think could stand out better. So if you've got the rest of your team looking great, most of the time I'd say don't bother with goalkeeper changes. But with Onana, I think there's definitely scope to do it because there's other goalkeepers performing way better right now.
Let's not forget that Raphael Varane is out as well. So it's no Varane, no Shaw. It would be very much a makeshift defence for United against Arsenal, but also for the next few weeks to come, maybe until after the international break or something like that, for a team that hasn't been performing really defensively, even against Wolves in the first game. They conceded a lot of chances despite winning that game 1-0. No Varane, no Shaw has to be a bit of a worry if you have another United defender or if you have Onana in goal.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Sam, you said that there's other goalkeepers on your radar. Who are they?
Edison, again.
You always end up going back to him.
Always.
I don't
always.
Know why. Yeah, he's another one of my favourites that I always end up with. Vicario at Spurs is another one, though, that I'm really looking at because Spurs looking actually, touch wood, what can I touch that's wooden? Spurs looking okay defensively for a change. So he's one I'm looking at, and he's the top scoring goalie at the moment with 19 points, tied with Leno, but then Leno's is massively skewed by that 12-point haul he got back in game week one. So he's one I'm looking at as well. Edison, I think, is probably the way that I'll go, simply because I would like a City defender, but I really struggle with the rotation amongst the City defence, whereas with Edison, you kind of do know what you're going to get.
Okay, we'll have maybe a more extended goalkeeper chat during the international break when there's no games, because it feels at the moment like there's so many positions to talk about. But for once, it does actually feel like a lot of people will be changing who they've got between the sticks. It's time now, though, to move on to differentials. Sam, as we said, has an incredible record at this. Remember, a differential is under 10% owned. Jules, you've done pretty well at this as well.
Thank you.
Last week, you said Gusto, of course, 14 points with 2 assists, a clean sheet and 2 bonus. But of course, as always, you didn't actually bring him in. Plus, your differential from the week before, was it De Sassi from the week before?
Yep,
he returned last week as well. So you're both doing pretty well. So I want to know if you can keep this incredible record up. Jules, you've already said yours is Grealish, yeah?
Yeah. I think this is a good time maybe to bring Grealish in. He's only owned by 4.1% of the managers, 7.4 million. So I understand that it costs you some money, of course, because he's Grealish and he's a City player, but the fixtures look good. City are looking better and he's looking better than earlier in the season. So I think that could be a good time.
Okay. Scroll back if you want to hear a more compelling argument, because you said about it earlier as well, didn't you? So we've had double the Grealish on this podcast. Sam, what about you? And also, I love that Lee on Twitter, I was at work last weekend, and when your differential returned last weekend, I was busy and I checked my phone and I just saw a tweet from Lee saying, is it time for the Kelly Summers tweet about Sam getting a differential right again? Sorry, I was at work, so I didn't get a chance to tweet, but here's my recognition of another brilliant pick.
To be fair, that was the first thing I said, and it was a Spurs goal as well. And the first thing I said was, that's my differential with the assist. And he was like, that's your team with a goal. And I was like, oh yeah. Pape Sarr, legend. This week, I am not going with Spurs. I'm going with West Ham because of the game against Luton. So Jarrod Bowen is my differential of the week this time. He's owned by 7.4% of the game. He has got 2 goals and an assist in West Ham's away fixtures so far this season. 11 shots and 8 inside the box, 5 of them on target. That's leading at West Ham right now. And Luton have massively struggled defensively, conceding at least three goals in both of their matches so far. So Jarrod Bowen has got the form. He's so important in the way that that West Ham team are playing, and it's a great fixture for them.
Yeah, he's someone that I'm looking at as well. We don't need another option in that midfield. That is the problem, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Jarrod Bowen, in any other season, a midfielder with a game against a newly promoted side who's averaging 7.7 points per match, you'd be like, right, I'll bring them in. The problem is, I'm looking at my midfield five and going, I don't really want to sell any of you, which is why these players stay differential for much longer at the minute.
Yeah, I kind of toyed with the idea of selling Mitoma for, I was looking at Ward-Prowse, then it became Bowen, but then you're just like, we know he can perform from nothing, even in the tougher games. And we've spoken about it with Brighton before. So it's really tricky. And of course, last weekend, I brought in Mbeumo, and of course, he didn't return a thing. And now I want to get rid of him, but I know I have to be patient. Because it is, it's just every week it feels like there's another midfielder. Jules, you've said it there, actually. And this leads us on nicely to transfers. You've already said the fact that you want Grealish, you want Maddison. So is it going to be your midfield that's going to dominate your transfers this week?
Yeah, I think so. And Mitoma will go because Yeah, because he's heavily owned. And if I want to climb back up also in the rankings and the tables and everywhere, I think this could be good in the hope that obviously Mitoma doesn't return in the next few games. But Sterling and Maddison, or Maddison and Grealish, or Grealish and Sterling do really. So it would be two of those three, and Mitoma and Rashford would go. More for Rashford, because I don't believe he's at his best yet, and then he might score two goals against Arsenal, of course, and United are their best with the ball. For me, Mitoma is just a case of he's owned by almost 50% of the game. So if I want to, I have to be a little bit different here. So I'm ready to let Mitoma, who's one of our boys, obviously last season we picked him up before anybody else. So it feels like he's one of your child, you know, goes away on holidays for a long time, but I feel like Mitoma and Rashford out and two of Grealish, Sterling or Maddison in.
Do you know, sometimes I wish I could be as bold as Jules, Sam, because I do actually, they're the kind of transfers I've hovered over, but I'm just a safe FPL manager, so I am too scared to do that. Also though, that's amazing that you're already chasing rank and trying to get advantage over people after three game weeks. That's quite impressive, no, Sam?
He's trying to get advantage over you, Kelly, is what's happening here. Yeah, to be fair, I don't have Mitoma, Jules. It's not that fun when watching Brighton play. It's a bit stressful because it's going to affect rank, but I kind of like it though, because I think this season, those midfield five spots are so important, and you have to accept that you can't own everybody because there's only five slots and there's probably 10 midfielders right now who most people want to have. So like, I'm looking at my team, as I said to you a lot last week, Kels, I'd really like to have Raheem Sterling, but don't want to sell Diaby. I don't want to sell Foden. I don't want to sell Maddison. I don't want to sell Saka. And then there's Bruno Fernandes, who I also don't think I want to sell right now. So how do I get him in? Well, the reality is I can't unless I do something brave. And so I do kind of like the fact that George is going to go brave this week.
Maybe I'll go brave. Probably won't. So we've discussed George's transfer. Sam, the big reveal. Dun, dun, dun. You teased it.
I mean, I feel like this has been built up way more than it is because it's not that exciting, but I'm going to make a defender change in the cheap bracket. So Baldock, I think probably will go this week, although he does have a really nice fixture against Everton. He haven't scored a Premier League goal yet, so could keep him and change Kabore instead. But either way, one of them two is going. And then I'm going to go with the Spurs defender. Now, most people will be looking at Destiny Udogie. I think I might go a bit rogue and go for Mickey van der Ven instead.
Why?
So a couple of reasons, mostly because I think the way that Spurs are attacking right now with Maddison winning free kicks everywhere, Mickey van der Ven's really, really good from set pieces. And with the delivery that we have from set pieces this season, I think the likes of Romero and Mickey van der Ven will, on a semi-regular basis, pick up some attacking returns. And Spurs have got two newly promoted teams in the next 2 weeks. So the clean sheet should be there as well. Van der Ven was in there for a bonus point right up until the last minute when he was replaced by Romero as well. So the two of them are regularly going to be racking up the bonus points because of the way that Postecoglou's team play and the fact that they're so involved. So Destiny Udogie is the obvious pick, I think, from Spurs. But for me, I'm looking at those two centre-backs thinking, with the route to points that they have from set pieces and the height that Mickey van der Ven brings to that team and the fact that Maddison's on the free kicks, makes him a really attractive option. I think there's a moment coming when Madison supplies Van de Ven, and I want to have both of them when that does.
Okay, that's a very, it's actually a very compelling argument. So let's go on to captaincy now. Haaland again has a brilliant fixture, but as we said, maybe the returns haven't been quite as we hoped, but it is still Haaland. And let's not forget, he still has 19 points. I'm still remembering what he did in game week one against Burnley as well. Are we both going with him, Jules, Sam?
Yeah, for me, definitely.
Yeah, it's a home fixture. I think you have to. I mean, there are other options. Madison's a really nice option this week. One of the Chelsea boys, nice option this week. But Haaland at home against Fulham, I don't think you can bet against that.
Okay, if managers do want to go against Haaland, maybe they're channeling their inner Jules and they want to go a little bit different. As we saw a few people do that last week. In the opening few game weeks, we've seen it as well. We saw people go for Salah in game week two. There is a bit of an appetite to try and not always go Haaland. Sam, who would you go for as your kind of second best choice?
James Maddison, I think. Spurs have got a lovely fixture. He's everything to the way that Spurs are playing right now. Plus, I think defeating the cup in midweek will refocus Spurs on the league. Yeah, I think Maddison's probably the best bet, particularly when you think the Manchester United and the Arsenal players have got each other, kind of rules them out. Chelsea maybe are the obvious options. Or if you're feeling really brave, then obviously pick a West Ham player against Luton.
Chelsea are the obvious options, Jules, because of their fixture. But I'm a little bit wary of the way Forest have been setting up against the bigger teams. We've kind of seen they can score. And Chelsea, I know they were brilliant against Luton last weekend. Are you convinced yet?
I'm starting to be convinced. I think you could see already what Pochettino is trying to do in that team. There's still a lot of work to do and they're not completely ready yet. But I think that back three can work really well. This is Thiago Silva, Colwell for now. You've got then the two wing backs in Chilwell and Malo Gusto who bring so much forward. I mean, Malo Gusto, the first assist, really, Raheem Sterling still had to dribble past four players before scoring. So I'm not sure how this is an assist, but it's the last pass before the guy scored. So fair enough. The second is much better, and that's what Malo Gusto is very good at. And then you've got, I think, a big potential going forward for Chelsea. So I think Sterling is a great shout. I think Nico Jackson is a great shout, even for captains, if you fancy them. Sterling, especially the how happy he was after that Luton performance, what he said in his flash interview
so good, wasn't it?
It was so good, bless him. And and you could see why at some point maybe he fell out of love a bit with the game and that now he's ready to go back to it. And I think considering how talented he is, it's just a matter of time before we see again the great Raheem Sterling. So I think if you have him, or if you, like us, is thinking to bring him in this week in your team, then maybe Raheem Sterling as a captain is a good shout too.
Yeah, I'm considering Raheem Sterling, I think, will be my transfer. That's probably what I'm going to do, Salah or Rashford to Sterling, just because I loved watching that performance on Friday night. And I've not the same reason as you, Jules, here, but as England reporter, I've had some of my best moments covering England because of Raheem Sterling. Just to see him playing and talking like that as well, as you said. Anyway, I could waffle on about Raheem Sterling for ages and we need to end this podcast. So yeah, Raheem Sterling may well be my transfer in. That's all we've got time for today, but Off the Bench does return on Monday. It'll be Az and Oscar on duty. Praz is with me on the Fantasy Show on Friday. I think that'll be a debut for him in the studio with me. So very much looking forward to that. And don't forget, it's a Friday deadline again with Luton versus West Ham on Friday night. So do get your team sorted by the deadline, which is 6:30 p.m. UK time. Also, a big thanks to those of you sending us all lovely messages on our social media platforms. It's even led Jules to post his team every week, as we've seen. But if you could be so kind as to pop those over on Apple Podcasts and give us a review, it does really help us get the podcast out to more people. And thank you to the few of you that have been doing that as well. Anyway, after the longest goodbye of all time, I'm going to say good luck. Sam and Jules, thanks as always. Jules, can't wait to beat you this week, hopefully.
Of course, of course.
Sam, I've given up on you. I gave up on you about 5 years ago. Anyway, we'll be back on Thursday, guys. Bye.